pitch. Swing and a wicked line drive hooked into the right field corner. And that's a fair ball off the wall. Scooped up by Haniger. That's going to be a long single as he fires into second. Alvarez wisely holding it first. Set and a 2-1. Swing at a high fly ball left field SD. Pounding back, turning around, looking up, and that ball is gone. Home run. Bregman strikes. And a Houston Astros right back in the game. A two-run shot to make it 7-5 Seattle. And the pitch. Swing at a line drive, base hit into center field. That'll move Myers up to second. Peño with his first hit of the day. And it comes with two down in the ninth inning when they were one strike away from losing it. And it does get the inning to Alvarez. Here's the pitch. Swing and there's a drive. Suck to right. Back it goes. And that's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. Yordan Alvarez has done it with a three-run blast in the bottom of the ninth. And Houston pulls it out 8-7.
A glorious... Yordong by Yordan Alvarez. First player in Major League Baseball history to hit a walk-off in the playoffs down to the final out, down by more than one run.
I mean, I think actually, and I'm a big fan of BA on TV, Brian Anderson.
Yeah, he's great.
Brian Anderson's call was fantastic last night. And he's really, really good at basketball and at baseball. But, I mean, that was just the emotional lift that everybody needed because I don't think anybody that's an Astros fan felt good about the way that entire game was going. I don't think anybody saw it coming the way the Mariners were a Mack truck that just came in and from the start of the game basically started running you over. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the fact that every time you made a little push, they pushed back. They answered. They did what they had to do. But at the end of the day, it's all about W's. And the fact that the Astros were somehow, some way able to do what they needed to do to get a W there, that is a massive, massive momentum swing for the rest of this series.
Look, Verlander's not good yesterday. How do you feel with him back on the mound whenever he makes his next start? What's the concern level? A lot of people were texting in, oh, Verlander's been terrible. It's about what you've done for me lately. And then when we challenged them to, okay, well, then what's the plan? What do you do with Verlander? A lot of people have said, oh, okay, well, you still got to use him. You still got to use him. 1-6-7-9. JV was bad last night, but no, you do not sit him. You have to admit his playoff record is concerning, though, and apologize to Dusty. That man was great last night. To say you were worried about Dusty's decision-making and not about JV and his poor playoff performance as of late isn't fair. Still love you guys. Verlander was lousy yesterday. Yep. Dusty Baker was great yesterday. Mm-hmm. We understand that you can't listen to the entire show. Most people can't on average. We did condemn Dusty Baker for having a great game in the dugout yesterday. I thought he managed fantastically. So I understand that you probably can't listen to the entire show, but we did give Dusty his flowers. He did do a great job yesterday. There's no doubt about that. 9-2-1-4, game four, no matter what, Verlander gets the ball to start, unless you sweep. Now, depending on how hard the bullpen gets hit, games 2-3 affects my worst-case scenario concerns, but JV gets the start, and you have to piece together how you handle a scenario where JD doesn't have it. Hopefully, he's the JV we've seen all season and not game one JV. Look, if you're going to make like tinkers to when Justin Verlander starts a game because he's been poor in six playoff outings, five of those were 3 years ago or longer, maybe it's just a quicker leash. Like he's still going to get a start, but maybe it's a quicker leash.
He doesn't have the ability to bark at the pitching coaches coming out there and the law firm. He doesn't have the ability to dictate as much as he's dictated in the past. But understand that, like I keep going back to, no matter what you think or we think or how much we scrutinize this, I know what Dusty's probably thinking, and I know what that locker room's thinking. This guy got us here, and this guy continues to get us where we need to go. There's no way we're going to let that opening start be the reason why we decide suddenly, just like we talked about service, not getting too cute. Don't get too cute, overthink this, and then stop giving your best pitcher the baseball.
Yeah, the most I'll go is maybe a quicker hook. 713-780-ESPN.
Fromber wasn't great his last couple starts, want the streak ended either.
I was looking at Fromber's playoff numbers earlier today. You want Fromber's?
Those are playoff numbers. I'm talking about the Janet Jackson philosophy and how he ended the season.
Well, I mean, no one looks at how Verlander's finished the season right now.
True.
You want Fromber's career playoff ERA? You want to guess it?
Fromber's career playoff ERA?
Yeah.
Four.
4.5. 4.53 to be exact. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Let's head back out to the HRMP listener line. Lonnie, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, bud. I appreciate everybody texting in, wanting to get on the JV down bag wagon. The Seattle was on a streak of 14 in a row when we went to Seattle. They're a good team. Look what they just did to Toronto. It was a good game. Let's appreciate it and quit overreacting on the minor details.
What are we overreacting about?
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, you want to analyze JV's progress in this game, but let's get to the point. We won the game.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie.
I think Lonnie was talking more about, he said, the texters and the people that were basically focusing on whether
right, I understand that, but you can't ignore in victory what you can in defeat.
I think Lonnie's perfect sports talk show would be like 30 seconds long.
Yeah, it's fine. Results are the results. Like, if Verlander loses that game, how's the tenor of that call? Different.
Oh, different.
But
very
Verlander
different.
Still had the same result.
Yeah.
You can't ignore Verlander's poor outing yesterday. You have to discuss Verlander's poor outing yesterday. And look, to Lonnie's point, Mariners had the second best AL record after the All-Star break in the American League. This might be the best two teams in the American League facing off right now. Look, I think the Yankees are very good. I think the Guardians are very good. Astros and Mariners had the best two second-half records in the American League. So this isn't a lousy team.
And again, we could talk about winning 12 of 19 against the Mariners, but you never saw Castillo. You never saw them after the moves that they made to get as good as they are right now. It's a different Mariners team. So you got to respect them, and you give them their props in the fact that we said they were in control of the entire game from the time it started until the home run landed. That was as good as the Mariners have been, and they did what they did to the Blue Jays too. So all kudos go to the Mariners for what they've done and where they are. But this is the Houston Astros. This is the golden era of Astros baseball on a run like we've never seen, and they haven't gone anywhere yet. And because of last night and yesterday, they've told you they ain't going anywhere anytime soon either. So that's why you give the ball to a guy that's played a massive role in getting you along this five-year stretch.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Lynn, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. Lynn, what's up?
Yeah, guys. I just wanted to tell you, I agree totally 100% what you guys are saying about JV. I mean, he had a bad game. He's a human being. Regardless, he went through surgery. Yes. But he had a bad game. Nobody's perfect, and he's the ace. You just put him back out there again. It is what it is. I went to the game last week when they played against the Phillies when he pitched. He had a no-hitter going on, you know, and I thought Dusty pulled him out too early. But, you know, it is what it is. Oh, this is just a bunch of bad excuses about, you know, not play, well, you're not going to play him anymore. No, you put him back out there. He's the ace. He's the guy, okay? I'll just sit back and listen. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Lynn.
Appreciate the call, Lynn. Jasper's texting. To quote Shania Twain, you got to dance with the one that brought you.
No doubt.
There's no way Shania Twain was the first person that said that. I refuse to believe Shania Twain was the first
person
that said
that. He didn't say that she's the only one that said it. He just quoted her because she used it in a song.
Why is Jasper quoting Shania Twain?
Why wouldn't you?
A boyhood crush for Jasper?
And why wouldn't you be? And why wouldn't it be?
I'm just asking. 713-780-ESPN.
She may have lost her fastball lately. Shania Twain, I'm not mad at Jasper.
Okay. 713-780-3776.
You're not going to give her flowers over the course of her career?
Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Pena, you're goodness. In the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Pena?
What's going on, guys? I just want to get into this Justin Verlander talk. Look, I'm giving him the ball again. Game 4, game 5, game 6, game 7, game whatever. Justin Verlander is a GOAT. He's up there with some of the best pitchers in this that's ever played in this game. So I'm not doubting him after one game or his previous playoff games from 2, 3, 4 years ago. That's irrelevant to me because it's what everybody's saying. What are they saying? That is what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And this year is lately. And he's been the best pitcher in this game lately. So I'm giving him the ball again. The Mariners had his number, and it's baseball. It is what it is. Justin Verlander is getting the ball again, game 4. Thank you. Have a great day. Go Astros.
Appreciate the call, Pena. I can't believe we're even having this conversation.
I can't either.
That you're
not
like I don't like even the people that are criticizing Verlander and that are talking about Verlander's last half a dozen starts. Even they, whenever you challenge them, are saying, "Yeah, of course, Verlander's still going to be pitching in Game 4." So, like, I even think that the most critical of people of Justin Verlander are not saying you're not starting Justin Verlander. I just can't believe that this is a conversation we're having after Justin Verlander is going to win his third Cy Young in his career.
Yeah, it's just it's ridiculous to me that you people are ready to turn your back on a guy that's played a significant role in giving you so much joy over this season. Over multiple seasons, over your only World Series?
I need to clarify. Is the text line super anti-JV?
I mean, just everybody saying that he was bad yesterday. Yeah. His last six playoff outings have been terrible.
We haven't really had many callers that have been on.
No, the text line has been massive.
Very, very anti-Verlander last six playoff starts.
Comparing him to Kershaw's playoff record, saying, you know, 13-12 overall, yeah. And the sixth. You know, why would you throw him back out there? Tell us the other option.
Yeah, and I think whenever you challenge them to answer the question, they say, well, yeah, of course you got to go with Verlander. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Jose, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jose?
Jose, let's go.
Hey, what's going on? I appreciate the call, Phyllis. Yeah, I agree with you guys as far as the Verlander talk. Kind of wanted to move the conversation a little bit to Pena. So coming in last night, everybody was talking about Rodriguez. I got to say, as a Houstonian, man, I'm proud that, you know, Pena was able to stand up that clutch and hit that single. I mean, it was a whole team effort. Obviously, you know, props to Jordan for winning the game. But, you know, big kudos to Pena standing in there and getting that single and clutch moment.
And we gave – thanks for the call, Jose. We gave Pena his credit for – down two strikes in the count, too, at a big time when he was swinging at first pitches in at-bats and looked like he just wasn't comfortable, and he was anxious. But I'll tell you this, as much as we know what Jordan is, what he means, and what he did from an Astros perspective, that's who J-Rod is for the Mariners, and he did not disappoint yesterday. He stole bases. He got hits. Yeah. The moment wasn't too big. That dude is the real deal, and he played his ass off yesterday.
He needs to see more breaking balls.
Yes.
I'm not throwing him a fastball.
No.
He can. He's a very good baseball player. That's why he's probably going to be one of the top five baseball players at some point here pretty soon in this generation. 713-780-ESPN. We're going to be at Wakefield Crowbar tomorrow, 954 Wakefield Drive. We're going to be there. We'll be doing our show live from noon to 2. We'll go off the air at 2 o'clock for the Astros Mariners national broadcast. And then we'll carry on an hour on ESPN975.com. We'll be talking about the game, kind of just hanging out. So swing on by Wakefield Crowbar tomorrow. Hang out with us. The Wheelhouse will be there from 3 to 7 as well. 713-780-ESPN. Let's speak about some of those unsung heroes in that game yesterday. Jordan Alvarez, obviously, all of the praise, deservingly so. We mentioned Jeremy Pena is one. Who are the biggest unsung heroes in Game 1 of the American League Division Series? If you're a bettor, I can tell you an unsung hero. It's BetUS.com. They're back for their 28th year of NFL action. They have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers members the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. NFL, college football, baseball playoffs, NBA, and much, much more. BetUS also has hundreds of new casino games while you're sweating out your bets, including the coolest European slots and live dealers waiting for you at the tables. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BETUS. Join now. Mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Seen Jordan do that a ton. Every time he starts squaring balls up, you know he's going to do that a lot. But I would hate not to point out the two huge at-bats right before that. Hensley, guy got here in September, not scared, goes up there against one of the better relievers in all of baseball and puts together a great at-bat. And then Pena as well, gets down in the count 1-2, laces a slider up the middle to give Jordan that opportunity. And it's what this team does in the postseason. We try and pass the torch to the next guy. And fortunate enough, we did that today. And nice off day tomorrow, and then come back and play some more ball.
A lot of unsung heroes in the Game 1 victory over the Mariners. Seattle, by the way, has announced their Game 3 starter. And after Robbie Ray was used yesterday, kind of had this feeling, George Kirby. We'll get the Game 3 start opposite of Lance McCullers in the Game 3 on Saturday in Seattle. All right, unsung heroes yesterday. We'll get to the ones Bregman mentioned in just a moment. How about Yuli Gurriel? 3-for-4 in this game, and for the first half of the game, was him and Jordan really were the only offense that the Astros had. He also put one in the Crawford boxes, homered. The one time he got out, I think, was his best exit velocity, was a hard rocket. Yuli Gurriel finding a little bit of the fountain of youth. Three-hit performance in Game 1.
No question about it. And a guy that was and rightfully so, again, scrutinized the entire year, got a fresh start, made the best of it, and looks like a guy that you can rely on, count on, and can actually take you as a team up another notch if he stays that consistent. And he's not going to get three hits every night and barrel up all four at-bats, but if he does get you a hit here and there, he shows that he has pop again. Those would be huge bonuses that you really weren't counting on that could be a massive story for you and for this team going forward. So great from Yuli. Love to see it, because on the flip side of it, I'll be the first to admit it. Like, I've been the biggest Trey Mancini fan after you got me to be the president of the fan club. And whether you were president and I was vice president or whatever, I was the biggest play the man, Trey Day. He, you know, all these things and how perfect he was going to be. I mean, based on how lost he looked at the plate yesterday in big at-bats, he did not look like he had a ton of confidence. I know Dusty had kind of indicated he'll probably go with Aledmys Diaz in game two. If Aledmys Diaz does anything at all, and I can't blame Dusty, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Mancini's going to start for a while. Maybe not the rest of this playoff.
Castillo throws hard. He throws fastballs majority. Diaz is a good fastball hitter, so I'm cool with that.
Yep.
And if Diaz is, look, if he gets a couple knocks, you ride the hot hand.
Just keep going.
Like, I'm okay with that. One of the things that impressed me yesterday about Yuli too, it didn't look fluky. Like, if that makes any sort of sense, like, he had arrogance, he had confidence. It's like he literally turned back the clock. And he was a previous version of Yuli Gurriel. He was trying to fire up the team, rounding the bases, saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Well, like, Yuli looked like he had confidence, which we didn't really see all year.
He was spitting on a lot of pitches, yeah. Even if he didn't swing at them. Like, okay, that's fine. You got it to me there, but I'll get you on the next one. When, the one that I really liked was going back to what you referenced, which was the hard-hit baseball that was an out in mm-hmm. left field. When he got back, he was talking to himself. He was mumbling. He was focused. He was mad because he knew he squared it up. That's the kind of Yuli we've been accustomed to seeing since he's been in an Astros uniform that we didn't see consistently this season. You see that again in the playoffs? That's someone you weren't counting on that takes your offense up another notch as you move forward. That's a huge and beautiful thing.
Yeah, I was impressed, and it gave me reason to be optimistic for Yuli going forward, too. It wasn't, like you mentioned earlier, some Texas League base hits. Like, he was squaring up the baseball, having some good at-bats. So hopefully that continues from Yuli, and watching that game yesterday makes me think it just might. I'm not expecting three-hit games every time, but I'm expecting good at-bats from Yuli. 713-780-ESPN. We get some more unsung heroes, but let's go out to the HRMP listener on the line. Daniel, who's your unsung hero?
Yeah, my unsung hero is going to be Phil Maton's locker.
Appreciate the call, Daniel. Nice little zinger there.
Well, as you kind of piggyback on that, though, I mean, another unsung hero.
Hold on, real quick on Maton. You know what he said yesterday during the pregame?
No.
About, he said that, I hope my broken hand does not hurt this team in the playoffs.
Oh, stop.
Which I was like, pretty good chance, Maton, you weren't even going to make the roster.
I mean, stop it.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't hurt the team.
People saying the hit he gave up to his brother was the last straw. He couldn't take it anymore. I think Chandler Rome had the tweet. Did you see it? I feel like this was 7 days ago.
Well, he said it was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's losing their mind now. And it was another one. I'm sure he had discomfort in the hand for a while, and they were waiting to see how the discomfort played out. But since it happened so long ago, most people already knew he wasn't going to be on the playoff roster. And he already, based on what he had shown us enough to know he shouldn't be.
No. He probably wasn't going to be on the roster. Well, he was going to be, even if he was on the roster, he was going to be very far down the totem pole. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it made the Astros' decision pretty easy. Who are you going with as an unsung hero?
I was going to say the bullpen. The bullpen as a whole. And look, again, it's kind of like the Jalen Hurts conversation in football. I see good things out of Abreu. I need to see more because I still see some of the things that also concern me a little bit. But look, kudos to him. Kudos to Hunter Brown. Kudos to Montero. Kudos to every bullpen arm that came in and did their job yesterday. Even a Javier, who did give up the one blemish with the home run, but he showed that his stuff and the way he blew fastballs by J-Rod shows you that that's the guy that is there for a reason to be whatever you need him to be. Kudos to the entire pitching staff for what they did yesterday.
What more do you need to see out of Abreu?
In high-leverage situations, Jeremy,
like
when
yesterday,
there are runners on base, I'm talking about traffic. I'm talking about you can continue to push back and you can think it's...
I mean, he was great
it's
yesterday.
It's a chuckle fest. But I know that other rational baseball minds that I have conversations with see the same things that I see that give you a reason to still be a tad bit concerned about self-inflicted wounds, traffic, the ability to get secondary pitches over when you're in high-leverage situations instead of just clean innings with nobody on base. But, I'm giving him his flowers again, and when he does, I give them to him, and I'm giving to him for yesterday.
I'm just trying to figure out what you saw yesterday where you need to see more.
I just see the same kind of consistency and the same locating his off-speed pitches.
Okay. They were talking about Abreu. I can't remember. I think it was Murphy or Miller. I can't remember. They're calling his slider the alien slider.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's a cool little nickname, but he was really good. Hunter Brown. I mean, Hunter Brown, when did he get called up? August?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, Hunter Brown is giving you an inning out of the bullpen, doesn't give up a run, keeps your team in the game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you win by a run. That
Some
was
people
a critical
were nitpicking inning. Him. I'm like, I don't care how he gets it done. He got it done.
What were they nitpicking him about?
About just, you know, was it really that sharp? Was it? And I'm going, seriously?
Well,
like,
it
the
is
guy
well.
Comes in, and this is the first time. This is getting your feet wet. This is dipping your toes in the water so that there will be other opportunities. You see a whole lot about a pitcher, and you're talking about Kirby being the Game 3 starter. They got that out of the way for him in the Toronto series because they know they have higher aspirations for him as if they go forward. Same thing with the Astros. They got him his first playoff experience. He did his job. Builds confidence. I'm good with it.
Yeah, he was really good. It seems like they're using Abreu maybe in that like Yimi Garcia role from a year ago. Wherever he comes in, and he's kind of like the stopper. He was warming up in the second to get out of the inning. And then they thought that Javier was going to be coming in for long work, which that wasn't something that had to happen. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who are your unsung heroes in that game yesterday? To me, I have two that I absolutely loved, and both of them were in that ninth inning. First one's David Hensley. David Hensley gets called on to pinch hit for Mauricio Dubon, and I think you have to tip your cap to Dusty Baker for making that move. I wouldn't imagine that Dusty Baker would have done that. Loves Dubon, rookie that has never appeared in a playoff game, and he uses him as a pinch hitter. Probably the 14th position player that you kept on a 14th position player ALDS roster. Hensley puts together an incredible at-bat. Gets behind in the count, gets even in the count 2-2. Fouls off a couple of pitches. Ends up getting hit by a pitch that clipped him on a 3-2 count. Gets himself on base. And to me, I wasn't even thinking Yordan in that spot. All I was thinking in that moment was get on base, give Altuve a chance to tie it. And he put together an unbelievable plate appearance.
No question about it. The two guys in the ninth inning, and again, because of the guy that you were relying on, because I, like you, was thinking, just put Altuve in that position. He is your go-to guy. I didn't think it could get – I didn't know if there was going to have a chance to get all the way down to Yordan. But the fact that those two guys did their job, and the one to me, you're right, both guys deserve the credit. The one that I really, really focused on, because he was going to, and again, he's going to walk whether he got hit or not, but it was a hell of an at-bat. Uh-huh. And then to follow it up, Pena, who was swinging at the first pitch every at-bat and looked like he was really uncomfortable, takes two strikes, and gets two strikes on him, and I thought, man, this is where I don't have a, I'm curious to see how he comes out of this, but I don't have a ton of confidence. I feel like it might be over. For him to stay with that at-bat, hit a really good pitch, it wasn't a huge mistake, and hit it back up the middle, he should get a lot of credit as well.
Yeah, he takes a pitch on the first pitch offered to him, which was a bad strike call. It was off the outside corner. Umpire gives it gives Seawald the strike, so Pena 0-1. You know he's going to see breaking ball. He chases a breaking ball way out of the zone. It was a terrible swing to make it 0-2. And then he takes a waste slider out in the dirt. You know, you're spinning
on
that
pretty
easily.
Pitch, yeah.
A huge waste pitch. It wasn't competitive. But I thought the 1-2 slider by Seawald, it wasn't a bad pitch. Mm-mm. It was dotted on the outside corner at the knees. And Pena, I mean, he struggled on sliders and breaking balls away all year long. He strikes out on that pitch 90% of the time. It wasn't a bad
pitch. Half the time he tries to pull it, too.
Yeah.
He pulled a Yuli. He shortened up. He just shoved it and put it where they weren't, and it was a beautiful piece of hitting.
And maybe this is me being prisoner of the moment. Watching that at-bat for Pena, for the sake of his career, if that can be his approach on sliders when he gets two strikes, I think he can be an all-star. I really do.
Look, I think the sky's the limit for the kid anyway, but I think that I was more thinking about how it relates to him for Game 2 being in the two-hole. I mean, that at-bat in a nutshell says, as bad as it started, the way it finished gives me confidence he can be fine in the two-hole.
Everybody's been talking about the two-hole like it's been this huge like controversy and there's a huge question.
Passan wrote about it Monday.
They've been using Pena there pretty much like the entire last 2 months. Yep. I think it's Pena's spot. I would love to see Yordan there. I think it's Pena's spot, and I'm okay with it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who are your unsung heroes? And Brendan's going to Atlanta this weekend. Does he have to go to the game? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Well, if you're a business owner, one thing that you should do is get HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Hawley, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen the HR&P signage of the U of H games. You've seen they're building off the Beltway with that beautiful U of H flag outside of it. Business owners, let HR&P help you. whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HR&P will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help, and they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Political Victory Fund, NRIPVF.org.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are your unsung heroes in the game yesterday? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. James, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, James?
Yeah, I wanted to mention Hunter Brown, and kudos to the Astros for selecting him and bringing him up to the major leagues this year. I mean, how many teams have the luxury of having a good starting pitcher pitching out of the bullpen? I mean, it's just great.
Appreciate the call, James. Look, I thought that because the Astros had a surplus of pitching, that there was a pretty good chance Hunter Brown was not going to get called up this year, even as good as he is. I thought that there was a good chance that he's holding back, let him finish out the year in Sugarland. Maybe they put him on the taxi squad like they did with Jeremy Pena last year, so he gets a taste of a playoff atmosphere. Doesn't like he's not even on the roster, but gets a taste of it. Like, I saw dudes on the dugout yesterday. I don't even know who they were. They're putting a lot.
I did too.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out some of the guys.
So they bring up a lot of people to let them be with the team during the playoffs. Which
someone
is cool.
Had like the Branham the post mullet,
yeah, sexy looking dude.
I was like,
sexy
well,
looking dude
with a scruff, and I'm going, who's that?
Yeah, he was very handsome. But, yeah, credit to the Astros for being willing to say, you know what, this guy can help us. This guy's got an arm that is better than, let's say, Seth Martinez, who's been really good. Maybe he's better than Will Smith, who didn't give up a run last year for the World Series team in the playoffs. He got kept on the roster over him. I believe they would have kept Brown over Maton as well. So you do have to give credit for the Astros to do that.
Yeah.
And then also to Brown to show the ability that, hey, I can come give you a scoreless inning out of the bullpen.
Well, look, and I was the guy that said, too, if he's going to be a starter next year, we weren't sure he could do what they were going to ask him to do if he made the playoff roster anyway and come out of the bullpen. So there were questions like, were you going to give him that experience? Were you going to get him, you know, acclimated to being in the pen and to make sure that that didn't affect him going forward? And the fact is they've handled it perfectly. They got him ready at the right time. They used regular season games both at Sugarland and with the Astros to get him in different situations coming out of the bullpen that he would face in the playoffs. And so far, absolutely so good in the way that he's done and the way they've handled him.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Franklin, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Franklin?
Hey, my unsung hero would have to be Dusty Baker. I just like the way he managed yesterday. But speaking of Dusty, I have a question. Lance had better home games than he does road games. And I was thinking if I was Dusty, I'd make the switch and let Lance go tomorrow and Fromberg go game three just because of how Lance pitches on the at home versus on the road.
Appreciate the call. I would be okay with that if that was Dusty's rationale. Like, we're going to go Lance. He's better at home. Fromber's home-road splits are pretty even where it's not going to matter. I'd be okay with that. Why I think that they did it, though, for two reasons. One, Fromber's had the better year. And I think that there is something to set up a playoff rotation being like, okay, this is our number one, this is our number two, this is our number three, this is our number four. I think there is something to that. Secondly, I think it's possible that if this series goes five, and hopefully it doesn't from an Astros point of view, hopefully you win it in less than five, I believe they want to go Fromber Valdez on short rest in that game five. I think they want to go JV game one, Fromber game two, McCullers three, JV game four, Fromber in game five. And look, he's going to have a short outing on short rest. Maybe it's four innings, and then you go to a Javier for a couple. You have a bullpen that you really like. I don't think that this series is going to have a fourth starter. And they feel better about Framber Valdez on short rest than they do Lance McCullers. Remember last year, Lance McCullers was not on short rest when he pitched in game four because of the rain delay, and he hurt his arm. So they're going to be careful with Lance. I think that's why Framber was ultimately the game two starter, is because in the back of their mind, they might use Framber to start a game five.
Look, I think in a couple of different ways, here's what I'll say. We just got done talking throughout the show about getting too cute, just overthinking things. And I think that the other thing from a baseball player's psyche perspective is that Framber earned the ability to be the number two starter for the playoffs. Framber did everything that he could possibly do to prove to you and everybody else that he is the guy that gets the ball, because next to the guy that's going to win the Cy Young, he has been spectacular for an entire season in the way he's performed for your team. Nothing should suddenly play with his psyche and say, look, you're going to have to trust us on this one, but we're going to tweak it a little bit. We're going to take the guy coming back off an injury, and we're going to play the numbers a little bit more. You're going to start in game three instead. I don't think Framber, as a younger pitcher, too, takes too kindly to that. I think he struggles with that. I think he's earned the ability to be at the number two, and that's why he's there, and he should be there.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Phillip, who was your unsung hero in game one?
There's a number of guys I think that could be on that list. It was a total team victory. But for me, it had to be Jeremy Pena.
Mm-hmm.
When Altuve made that second out, the only thing I could think of was, I love Correa, but he's gone, and it's time for you to make your statement. And boy, did he make his statement.
Appreciate the call, Phillip. Yeah, that was a spot for him to show that he can be clutch in the postseason.
No question.
He did that. But we talked about that he has to show playoff moments like Correa did.
Yep.
We don't want to compare the two.
He's not going to be tapping his wrist,
right,
and doing the kind of things with consistent long balls and big plays like Correa did. But he's got to show that the moment's not too big for him. And I think early in the game, and rightfully so, this was his first ever playoff game, he looked anxious. He looked like the first pitch he thought was anywhere near the zone, he was swinging and he was taking his hack at, and it didn't turn out well. And whether it was coaching and or him or whatever, to have two strikes, to be down in the count, and to be able to use the piece of hitting that we just referenced in this final hour in terms of not trying to pull the ball, not trying to do too much or chase a bad pitch, go with it, push it where they ain't, and get the hit, absolutely he deserves credit.
How about that double play ball, too?
Defensively, you and I have been on it all year when everybody's fought us. Look, I have total confidence in the way he plays defense.
Yeah, he had that really nice play on that double play ball in the middle innings there. 713-780-ESPN.
Let's be clear to you, Jeremy. We have confidence in the way he plays defense.
I do.
We're not saying he's Carlos Correa. No one is Carlos Correa defensively with the combination of his glove and his arm. But you know what? Jeremy Pena, as we've been preaching all year, is an above-average shortstop in this league, and you should feel comfortable with him playing short for your team.
How many shortstops hit 250, hit over 20 home runs, and play top three defense in the American League?
For most of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid year for a rookie.
He runs against replacement.
Solid
he was the number one shortstop in baseball.
He finished number two.
Okay, there
defensively,
you go.
Defensively.
Yeah, defensively. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, he's good. He's got some holes in his game that he could get better at. But a rookie hitting 250 with over 20 home runs and has the second-best glove at short in the American League, it's a good rookie year. 713-780-ESPN. Let's take one more call on the HRMP listener line. Derek, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Derek?
Yes. How good are you, Dusty Baker? Start Verlander, the Cy Young Award winner, who gives up five runs a game. How dare you, Dusty, put him out there and put him in a hole? Great job, Dusty. Great job overall. You coach, you manage. The players played and came back and did what they did. But great job for trusting in Justin Verlander. Give Dusty credit for starting somebody that gives a five.
Derek, I can't tell if you're being for real or you're being sarcastic. Like, I'm going each, like, I'm kind of wavering. If you're being for real, if you're being sarcastic, can you clear it up?
No, he hung up.
He hung up. Man, I really wanted to know. What did you think, Brendan? Do you think he was being sincere or sarcastic?
I think he was making fun of people who criticized
him. Yeah, I think he's a big Dusty guy.
Yep. Yeah, which, I mean, Dusty managed a tell-off yesterday. A lot of people thought he let Verlander in too long. I would have pulled Verlander when he pulled Verlander. I would have given Verlander the third, and that was the only inning he didn't give up a run. He got the first two hitters out in the fourth, and then JP hits a home run, and then they get another run because Julio Rodriguez is at the top of the order. I thought he managed really well. So Brendan's going to Atlanta this weekend, and Brendan's got a dilemma. What's your dilemma here, Brendan?
Well, so I'm leaving Thursday night to be in Atlanta Friday. I have wedding stuff I got to be at Friday and Saturday. And I made this trip to stay Sunday because the Texans are off this weekend. The Lions are off this weekend. You know, it felt like it matched up too well to go to a Falcons game. They play the 49ers this weekend. Okay. I was not anticipating how expensive the Falcons tickets were going to be. I mean, just to get in the building is going to cost $100 right now. And then to get to the game and back, I'm imagining I'm probably looking at another $100. And I'm not sure, even though I'm only in Atlanta on Sunday to go to the game, I'm not sure it's worth it. And I'm questioning if this is one of those things where you just have to suck it up and say, it's why you're there. Not many opportunities that things line up this cleanly. Just do it.
No, you gotta system the system. You gotta play the game the right way. And we talked about this in our pre-show. The fact is that I think that you're jumping the gun and you're moving a little too quick now.
No,
you need to slow your roll because there's plenty of apps and plenty of sites where you don't have to pay what you're looking at now for tickets to that football game. And as you get closer to kickoff, put yourself on the premises. Give yourself ample opportunities to have multiple choices online. You're going to find a way to get a cheaper ticket, and you're going to make it a good experience.
You guys both said that. And to be clear, my intention is to wait until Sunday regardless. That has always been the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys bought tickets like an hour or 2 hours before the game?
Mm-hmm. I did. Whenever I went to Vegas last year and I went to the Raider-Bengal game, I bought it off one of the ticket sites, maybe StubHub.
Okay.
I bought it about an hour before the game.
See, because I've looked in hours before the game, and they don't usually drop as dramatically as you would think, in my experience.
It kind of ticks off the teams themselves, just to give you a little behind the curtain, because a lot of my friends that are in tickets tell me, like, the team loses out, and the secondary marketplace even loses out on the scalpers and such, but it's a way to still bail if you're like a scalper. But by doing it online, you can take it up to game time. And that's why the commercials are out there for the sites that say, hey, look, I was right up to game time. I saved 65% on my ticket price, and the ticket's legit. And because you don't have to have a paper ticket, you can just get it on your phone and you go.
I'm not going to jump the gun and buy it ahead of time. Like, that was never the plan. But what I am wondering is, if I get to game time and the tickets still feel out of my range, is this something I have to do anyway?
You don't have to do it, no.
What is your range?
Go to a sports bar nearby. Say you were at you're there for the game.
Where did Lou Williams go when he was in Atlanta?
That's the strip bar. Was it the
Gold
Cup?
Do they show NFL games?
I'm sure. That's what I'm saying. Go to a bar nearby.
The
wasn't the Gold Cup. It was.
I couldn't tell you. They had good chicken wings.
But he's got his. Well, they were named after Lou Williams.
Being a chicken wing aficionado, I would love to try their chicken wings. Like, if they're that good.
I don't think you'd step foot in the door though.
No, I'd need to get it DoorDashed.
Okay.
But if their wings are that good, I really want to try it.
I think they're $50 wings.
Maybe Brendan could hook me up with his DoorDash thing. You should go scalper route.
Well, here's the other option you're not considering. And from your resume at the end of your career, when you get too old to go to these things anymore, you look back and say, should I have gone to the Falcons-Niners game? Or can I get a cheap ticket to go see, if it goes five, the Braves playoff game in the division series against the Phillies? And I'd say, that's a no-brainer to me. I'd much rather see a playoff baseball game than a below-average NFL game.
They won't be in town, though. They won't be in town. They're going to Philly.
No, it would be game five. It would come back and be game five in Atlanta.
Wouldn't that be Monday?
I thought he said it would be game five.
Game five is Sunday.
Because there's no gate days
and
off.
And tickets, by the way, are already half the price.
It's a no-brainer to me.
Half the price of the Falcons game.
You could probably do both.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
When are you coming back to Houston?
Monday morning.
So you're still going to be here with our show?
No, I could do both.
I don't think.
Right. Well, no, I'm off Monday.
You're not going to be here Monday?
I don't get in until 9 o'clock.
What?
I don't think you understand.
You skip both of them and you come back on Sunday.
Because I don't think you understand. There's no same day travel when you go to a sporting event for Brendan.
That's true.
He has to come back on Monday. It's not an option.
I thought about trying to do Monday. It was such a tight window, and when I get in, I wasn't confident. If there was any delay, I'd be showing up.
Dude,
like,
I'd be
halfway
all about
into the show.
Both.
Who's producing our show?
I would be all
about.
You're
coming back Sunday.
I would
Brendan.
See both games in a heartbeat.
I would too. That'd be awesome. 713-780-ESPN. What should Brendan do? Be honest. How low are you on the series heading into the eighth? Who was the biggest unsung hero? Ask a Will Houseman. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about Fidelity Fuels. They're a wholesale supplier and distributor of petroleum products. You need to know these people. If you're a construction manager, a trucking company, an oil field pro, industrial worker, farmer, any type of fleet fueling, Fidelity Fuels wants to partner with you, and you should want to partner with them too. Why? They can help with emergency response, hurricanes, floods. We know about that. We know about freezes. You may have a generator for those natural disasters, but do you have your fuel lined up? Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you have that, that you're prepared. How can they help trucking companies? Well, efficiency. Keep your drivers out of the truck stops and have more control of your fuel spending. Are you tired of paying retail prices for your DEF? Well, let Fidelity drop a tote in your yard, saving you time and money. Do you need solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup? From tools to terminal storage tanks, Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. Fidelity Fuels can help on the construction side as well. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage and delivery. That's big. Delivery to fill up those dirt movers or whatever else you need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock, too. 24-7, 365. Maybe at noon, maybe at midnight. They will do it all. They are WBE, SBE, DBE, and Hub certified. So if you're looking for a partner for municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can help. Reliable deliveries and competitive pricing, that's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at fidelityfuels.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Brad Kellner in with us. We were just talking about Brendan's trip to Atlanta. He's going to Atlanta for a wedding. He's going to come back and make the show on Monday. But he's wondering what he should do on Sunday. Falcons
nice
play
of him,
a football.
By the way, to go out of his way and make the show on Monday. Mm.
Yeah, Falcons game's at noon, so no problem getting back to Houston. Atlanta to Houston's not very far.
I'm surprised he's attending the wedding because, you know, he's got work on Friday and work on Monday.
That's what I said. I mean, good Lord, how could he possibly consider doing anything not only travel that, the next day?
There is wedding stuff on Friday. I have to be there Friday.
Oh, you're in the wedding?
No.
Then why do you have to be there Friday?
Because it's a cultural thing.
What culture?
Indian.
Oh, okay.
They do. It's a two-day like wedding thing. Hmm.
So you're
yes,
gonna,
they
you're,
do.
You're going to go on. So will you be able to meet up with them Friday night?
Yeah, I mean it's like a wedding event on Friday, and
so you'll be able to
Saturday.
Make it though, right? Because you're flying out Friday.
I'm flying out Thursday night.
You're not here a Friday either.
Hey, jeez. Jeremy, there's these
two
things.
Days he's missing.
Mm. What are we?
You're
going
to hate.
How are we
going
to put a show
what
together?
What are we doing?
Are you going to put the show together Friday
no.
before you go to the ceremony?
You're going
to
hate me because I'm gone Friday. I'm gone Monday, and then I'm gone. I'm going to miss two more days in a couple weeks.
Goodness.
I mean, you sound like Brad Kellner.
I mean,
it's really
there's no Texans
the
this weekend.
Brendan's Jewish?
No, well, I mean, without being Jewish, it sounds like a Brad Kellner schedule.
There's no Texans this weekend. You don't need me on Monday.
Man.
Brad says the same thing.
We could argue we need you more.
Yeah.
With no Texans on Monday.
Could be a game five.
You obviously find no problem in anything with his.
Well, I've never missed a day in my life, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not quite sure why I'm getting dragged.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. Miss days.
So what should you go to the Falcons game?
NFL games are awesome. That stadium looks really cool. But if there's a game five in the NLDS,
right?
You've got to go to that.
Yeah.
But, you do both.
And if you do both, now you're a true, real sports fan that belongs producing major market sports radio.
Doing both is a no-brainer, aside from the fact I think I could be looking at $400 or $500 of investment to do both.
Yeah, but you know, with your massive amounts of success in fantasy football,
I
think that's a no-brainer, again, that you make that up.
That money doesn't pay out until December.
Use your connections as a quasi-associate producer, director to get credentials.
No. Take it a step further, Mr. Branham. Yeah. BK, roll with me here because I think this is more something that you and I would be doing that Branham might otherwise frown on.
Mm-hmm.
You are the assistant program director of a major market sports radio station.
Yeah.
You are in town to cover events that you will speak about the following week. You get credentialed for both. Were you planning on going to these games with anybody?
I'm selling. No, I'm not.
Then boom, it's done. It's settled. Then you can pay whatever you want for the Uber or the taxi or the rental car for the day. This is a no-brainer. We just settled.
So you guys are prepared to talk about Falcons 49ers on Monday.
You don't have to do it, Brendan. It's part of the shtick to get in.
Yeah. I mean, the Astros don't even credential us, but maybe the Braves can.
Yeah. Astros could be playing the Braves in a couple of weeks. You're doing some advanced scouting there. The Texans will play the Falcons at some point in the future of those two franchises.
At least once in the next 4 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, now I feel like we've got to talk about the Falcons for a segment and then the Braves for two.
No, you don't.
And
just go to the game and have fun. Get liquored up in the press room. Stir it up a little.
Atlanta's out of luck. Like, that's a historically cursed sports city, and they've won enough over the last year. Like, you might get to watch the Falcons lose and the Braves season come to an end and be in Atlanta when all of that's going on. For me, that's a dream come true, watching that much sports misery play out.
Yeah, there you go. I think we have
it
all figured
out. Vested interest in any of it.
Exactly.
That's even more beautiful. Go get the press passes. It's not too late.
I'm doing it for
you. Send a damn email. Two of them.
One to each spot. You're in. Done deal. Thank us later, which you won't do. But it's fine. It'll be taken care of.
Now, you know somebody that didn't lose yesterday? The Astros.
That's right.
The Astros win it. Yordan Alvarez, big Yordan yesterday. A three-run homer in the ninth, giving them the victory. Who do you think was the biggest unsung hero in that game, though?
The home plate umpire, whatever that guy's name is.
Okay.
I thought he was really good. I don't know if that counts as
he wasn't given a lot of corners and edges, but he was pretty consistent.
I didn't like strike one to Pena, and I didn't like ball two to Julio Rodriguez to start the
announcers were very upset about a strikeout on Mr. J.P. Crawford.
That was not that was a missed call, too.
Yeah.
That was out of the zone. That was Abreu.
There were probably four or five missed calls the whole game. Look, you could say the two guys ahead of Yordan Alvarez. Yep. I heard y'all talking about this, right? Hensley working that long at-bat, getting the hit-by-pitch to get on base, and then obviously Jeremy Pena down to his final strike. He looked awful in his first four at-bats. He looked lost up there, and I didn't have a whole lot of faith that he was going to be able to extend that game. Sure enough, the single up the middle with two strikes to get Yordan to the plate. So you could really give credit. You can give credit to a lot of people, obviously, and you guys have been doing that over the last 3 hours. But the two guys before Yordan in the bottom of the ninth inning, they're the reason this thing went down the way that it did.
I think that though, that's a good answer. Like I was surprised that Dusty went with Hensley. I wanted Dusty to go to Hensley. I didn't think that he would go away from his dude. He loves Mauricio Dubon.
He sure does.
Didn't start Dubon with Verlander on the mound. Maybe that's why Verlander didn't pitch that well. He didn't have his personal center fielder.
Mm.
But he pinch hits with a dude that's never been in the playoffs, has never had a postseason at bat. It seemed very uncharacteristic for Dusty Baker to do that, but he did. I tipped my cap to him.
No question.
And it worked.
Dusty's part of that credit that you give yesterday, in my opinion, as well.
For sure. No doubt about it. I mean, he outmanaged the hell out of Scott Service. Now, a newborn baby could have outmanaged Scott Service yesterday, but Dusty pushed most of the right buttons. Maybe you can criticize him for leaving JV in a little bit too long, but I understand why you want to rely on Justin Verlander, considering all that he's done for you over your Astros career and over his Astros career. And, you know, maybe you criticize the Javier decision. Like,
I was a little critical of that.
I think I saw you on Twitter, like even before he gave up the home run, just because there's a day off today, it's like, okay, why not use your Neris's? They ended up using Montero, but like, why not use your regular guys, the Stanek in that spot, instead of maybe saving Javier for a different situation where he needed to eat more innings? But look, I mean, the bullpen gave up one run over five innings.
Has
the pinch
a personal center fielder ever gone from personal center fielder to personal water boy?
Yeah, it happened yesterday.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Up until yesterday,
not that
I don't know that it had ever happened before.
We saw two things that have never happened before in Major League Baseball playoff history.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan with a walk-off home run with two outs and his team down by two runs or more. First time it's ever been done in Major League Baseball history. And a personal center fielder turning into a personal water boy for Yordan Alvarez.
Did you read Doobie's lips?
Would you like some high-quality H2O?
I did not see Bobby Boucher out there yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that's I'm not going to complain.
See Verlander in the sleeveless going, "You saved my ass!"
Yep.
At home plate?
I'm not going to complain too much about Dubon not playing that often. I think we're all perfectly fine with that.
Indeed. Jake Meyers is going to start tomorrow, looks like.
Well, I'll tell you, can I say a couple things here about the broadcast? One, great all the different angles they had in real time, including Jake Meyers, as you mentioned it, Jeremy, running from first to second after he knew it was gone and everybody's reaction that they knew it was gone. And then on the flip side, ESPN this morning, and I know you guys know that this is a hot button for me. Can I tell you in the first pod of Get Up this morning, can you guess the three lead stories? The three lead stories on Mike Greenberg's program. Let me handle it for you. Yankees win.
Yep.
With highlights. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers. Strohs, nowhere. Mm. Get the hell out of here telling me there's not a bias against that team.
I don't know why you watch them.
It pisses
it bothers
me
you
off.
So much.
You're probably right.
Just put it away. Turn it off. Don't pay attention to it.
I'm annoyed by it, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like the angles, though, with Meyers and all the different angles?
It was pretty cool.
Okay, thanks.
I like Brian Anderson a lot, too.
He's really good.
He's one of the best in the business, so we're lucky to have him on this series.
I
mean, last year we had Adam Amin and A.J. Pierzynski, the White Sox regular team, calling the White Sox series.
They are doing one. I think they're doing one of the series. And then they resurrected Bob Costas for the Yankee series.
I do not like Bob Costas on baseball.
He's a baseball aficionado, though. He's
but
not
he's just,
bad.
It's like listening to Tim Kurkjian do play-by-play. Like, it's just nonstop, like, quirky story after quirky story.
Random stat.
And he kind of hogs the mic. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how often I heard the color guy in that game.
I couldn't tell you who it was.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Costas is doing the Yankee series. We got really lucky to have Brian Anderson. Because usually Brian Anderson is doing.
Jeff Francoeur.
He thought he was all right.
Yeah, he's good.
I thought he was pretty good with it. We're going to be at Wakefield Crowbar tomorrow. The Wheelhouse will be there as well. We hope that you swing by. You'll hang out with us. Watch the Astros game. We'll be doing live remote till 2. Then we'll be doing it on the website, ESPN975.com. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today, BK?
Yankees talk, Dak Prescott talk, and Aaron Rodgers talk for 4 hours.
Beautiful.
And Todd Callis is going to join us at
4:15. Good
morning. Very good. You don't want to miss it. That's it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN975 and ESPN92.
Hey, guys, before you go to the break, one of the major patients that have been with Doc Linville over the last year is about to start his show with BK and Cody. Yeah, that's right, Jake Asman. And that firebush on top of his dome piece, provided by and with more luxurious flow, Doc Linville. You can get in there, too, just like me, Granado, Fred Fowler. We love Doc Linville because he brought our hair back, and he can do the same for you. It's not sprays and creams and foams and all those things that mask the problem. It's the Neograft procedure. He takes hair from where you have a lot of it, and you won't lose it. And genetically, you won't lose it in the sides and the back. And he uses it to combat the baboon's butt that shows up on top of your head or your forehead turning to an 8-head. And he makes you look better. And he gives you self-confidence again. And for you, an ESPN listener, you get what other people don't get. You get a free consultation with him and his staff that normally costs $150. Just go to 975hair.com and get in and schedule your first appointment. Then go in, ask all the questions, and see if the procedure's right for you. It costs you nothing. It's a no-risk situation. You just go in and see if it might be something that can help. Check him out today. Tell him I sent you. You buy. It's 975hair.com. Go see my friend Doc Linville.